Good morning, Oregon. Thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find full details at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of Doc Hay, Oregon's pioneer Chinese herbalist. The guy who seemingly could cure anything. The guy who didn't lose a single patient in the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918 to 1919, when a shockingly high percentage of Oregonians died of influenza. This story was first published on February 5th, 2009, under the headline Doc Hay, Oregon's Pioneer Chinese Herbalist. Here we go. In the late 1800s, when the railroads were being built and the forests cleared for agriculture and the streams panned for gold, a sort of bracero program got started. Chinese laborers, called coolies after the Chinese term kuli, which meant muscle strength, poured into Oregon. Little is known today about the Chinese in Oregon. Most had great difficulty learning English and spoke a pidgin version that the U.S. and British settlers found amusing, but not very useful as a basis for social connections. And most of their records were destroyed when San Francisco burned following the Great Earthquake in 1906. Presumably the Chinese government has records as well, but it hasn't shown any willingness to share them. What is known is that the Chinese in early Oregon were treated as second-class citizens, openly so. There are tales of them being shot, assaulted, and stolen from with little consequence, and when the need for cheap muscle began to fade as the railroads were completed, the government slammed the door and started encouraging them to leave. But in John Day there was one Chinese man whom the local residents would posse up to protect if they had to. His name was Ing Hay, better known as Doc Hay, and he was a skilled Chinese herbalist physician. Hay was born in 1862 in an impoverished province of China that I am about to attempt to pronounce now, and I'm sure that I will be butchering it, so I apologize in advance, Guangdong. At first he did coolie work in the Walla Walla area, but later he moved to John Day, where he met a fellow traveler from the same part of China, Lung An. Lung An was as boisterous, fearless, and charismatic as Doc Hay was shy, quiet, and humble. Soon the two had gone into partnership. Doc Hay healed people, and Lung An was his publicist. At first, Hay just served the other Chinese expats. But soon rumors of his effectiveness got around, and citizens of European extraction started coming to him as well. He proved very effective in dealing with septic infections, and septic infections were a big deal. Back then, every time you cut your hand or even pricked it on the wrong piece of barbed wire fence or rosebush, you faced a real risk of death. If you were unlucky, your hand would swell up the size of a grapefruit, red streaks would appear on your skin moving towards your heart, and you'd die. Western medicine at the time was essentially powerless against this. The settlers in John Day were a hard-working, hard-playing bunch, but they certainly weren't stupid. They couldn't help but notice that people would go to, quote, white doctors and die. They'd go to Doc Hay and get better in a few days. Soon the citizens counted Doc Hay as a municipal treasure. Other physicians, of course, were very jealous and tried to have him prosecuted for practicing medicine without a license, which, of course, was correct. He had no license or formal credentials of any kind. The problem was, no jury in Grant County would convict him. For them, his record was license enough. Another interesting side note, not a single one of Doc Hay's patients died during the terrible Spanish flu epidemic that killed so many people around the world, about 3,500 of them in Oregon, in 1919. Not one. When Doc Hay finally died in 1952, his place of business, the Cam Wa Chung & Company, Golden Flower of Prosperity is how that translates, was boarded up and deeded to the city of John Day. In 1967, the city belatedly realized it owned the place and had the boards removed. What they found when they did so was almost a time capsule of a Chinese apothecary and general store. They later turned the place into a museum, which is well worth visiting. Well, that's it for today's episode. And if you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything on our central website at offbeatoregon.com. About 180 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and also to the Facebook page and Twitter feed if you'd like to get in on the conversation online. The website is also where you'll find full citations of sources for this story. Sources for today's episode include books by Jeffrey Barlow and Bill Gulick and the Oregon Historical Society website. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. Well, that's it for today. So thanks for listening, and have a great day.